This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey folks, it's Saturday. That means it's time for another edition of Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your man, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault's off today, but sitting in for him once again is our good buddy, Greg Riley.
The one and only.
That's right, folks. We got a great show today. First, we're going to hear from Amy Masika, which is a cool name, but she is from GMC, and they're talking about their light-duty and heavy-duty. They really changed the heavy-duty truck. It's going to come out later this year. It's kind of cool, and that's a big thing. We're going to talk about some auto industry news, do a car review or two, and then wrap up, as always, answering your car questions that you either email to Mike at Let's Talk Wheels or the people that go in. The correct way to do it is go to the website, letstalkwheels.com, and then you push the big button there in the center there. It says Contact Mike. And you can also, that also contacts Greg. And so if you've got any cold car questions, be great. I'll handle all the other newer car questions.
And when you push the button, he gets a jolt. So just do that over and over.
Shock.
Yeah, do it over
right,
and over.
That's right. And this segment is brought to you by the great folks at Ram Trucks, built for a world that demands more, introducing the new award-winning 2019 Ram 1500, which actually just recently won the Truck of the Year award from the Texas Motor Press Association.
I may have known something about that.
I think you did, and it had something to do with it. But no, it's kind of exciting stuff. It's been a crazy week. And I've got this story about, and it happened literally
I know what you're going to say. From
my lake house on Lake Sam Rayburn, it's probably the largest lake that's all in Texas. And, the lake's, of course, it's 40 miles, 40, Wales, lake's like 40, 55, 40 or 50 miles long. But it was down at the south end of the lake. But the guy was launching his boat, and there's his dog had something to do with that. So it's really funny and sad, too. But it's a kind of a funny
only for
story.
Him. It's funny for us.
No, I know it is funny for us. But there's a lot of funny stuff. I got some crazy stuff. Man, the auto industry, with Chicago Auto Show going on and a lot of things going on, there's so many new things happening. And all these I'm not sure if I'm ready for electric pickup trucks.
But they're coming.
They're coming. But I know.
It's a great time to be a car guy.
It is. It is. But it's going to be a different. You got to be. And the old car guys like me are going to have to learn a little bit. They have to change a little bit. But we got a lot of stuff happening today, and Greg here to talk about some old car stuff too. And don't forget, this is Mike Herzing and Greg Riley, and we got Bobby Harris as producer, and he's having a great time. You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network and Let's Talk Wheels. You can always find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels, also. But we'll be right back right after this.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your guy, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault is off today, but sitting in is our good buddy, Greg Riley. Once again.
The one and only.
The author. Three books here. I like that. I think that's really good.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
You are a legend in your own mind, but your Corvair, two Corvair books are really cool.
Two Corvair books, yeah. I can't even talk, but yes.
I mean, that's easy. You get so choked up about it.
A radio host that can't talk. That just is great, right?
Yeah, it is. But talk about something funny. All right, there's a big fishing tournament down the lake from my lake house, and it happened a couple weeks ago. And this is an absolute true story, but it's one of those things you don't believe, but somebody videoed it happening. And, of course, every time you do something stupid, people are there with a video camera. Isn't that right? So this guy
– Don't you – before camera phones, man, you could hide that stuff. But
viral. I know. But this one is this – there's a guy here that came in, and he comes in from out of state. He's a big fancy, fun-time professional fisherman. It's a big fishing tournament.
Fisherman.
Big deal, okay? And one of the radio TV stations in Cleveland, Texas. But he is a guy from Tennessee. He's avid fisherman. Eric Jackson towed his boat to Lake Sam Rayburn. And he's going to practice ahead of the tournament. They call it pre-fishing the tournament. That's pretty cool. So he's on this boat launch with this big, good-looking motorhome with all, it's all wrapped with his
all the graphics, all the graphics, beautiful motorhome
with this sexy. Looks like maybe a Skeeter or a Legend bass boat. One of those $90,000 awesome bass boats. It's really great. So, he's backing up, and he's got this wonderful new puppy. He's you know, he's a 2-year-old Dalmatian, coolest dogs in the world.
Bodie the Dalmatian.
Bodie the Dalmatian. Okay, so he puts it in back there, and he goes. Something happens, so Bodie puts the vehicle in reverse. Okay, and the actually this fancy motorhome backs into the lake with the boat still on
I
the
don't
trailer.
Mean to laugh.
It's like a commercial.
Because the poor guy.
And it's really sad. And I'm looking at the pictures of it. You can find YouTube. Just do a search on, you know, backing the motorhome into a lake. And, I mean, it shows this thing up, really up to the headlights in water. It's backed all the way down. And
at the back end, it's up to the windows in the back.
And back up to the windows in the back there. And it's this beautiful, beautiful motorhome.
It was beautiful.
I tell you what, of course the dog, they said at the end of the video, it says no dogs were harmed in making this video, but they may have been harmed later.
I was going to say, I'm sure Bodie kissed and licked his face. Bodie was perfectly happy about it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I remember having my kids, one pap in the late 80s, one of my boys, I left the vehicle idling in the garage, and one of them was jacking around, and him and the dog wrestling, and he ran up and hit the shifter, and it put it into gear. That was before you had to hit the brake. To change it out of gear, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he just bumped it into gear, and it rolled forward real slow and put a hole in the garage door.
You know, when I was I have 5 kids, and when my kids were little, I was always very careful about turning the vehicle off and taking the keys out, yep. And all that stuff, just because kids are kids and dogs are dogs. You know, they just they don't mean anything. It just happens.
And if anybody has any of those funny stories, send them to us. I'll be glad to talk about them on the air because I think it's hilarious because nobody got hurt. Now, if somebody got hurt, it would be a different story. It wouldn't.
His insurance company, they got hurt.
The insurance company got hurt. So sorry about that. Yeah.
And Bodie may not have gotten any treats that night, but I think Bodie's going to be okay.
Yeah, I know. And guess what? The guy's he's a tournament fisherman and got a lot of press. Got a lot of press about
it. I was going to say, all the press of that motorhome in the water with the name and everything on the side for his sponsor and all that, in a weird kind of way, you couldn't pay for that kind of advertising, yeah. Right?
You know, I want to bring this up. I don't know if you've seen this article or not, but it's a funny article. Not funny at all. But I have classic cars, and you are Mr. Classic Car.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have a couple of old classic Jeeps and stuff from the 40s and 50s. But come to find out, you know, Hagerty's is the people that I use for insurance, and people don't understand how cheap classic car insurance is. It's, I mean, less than $200 for a year of full coverage. And so,
yes.
But, you know, when they give you quotes, it's always the baby boomers. It's always the people that are 60s and 50s, late 50s, 60s, 70s, and this kind of stuff. And those are the guys that buy classic cars. Well, guess what? That's changing because now the millennials and the Gen Xers are even actually looking at these, using these things and getting these bids all about classic cars. They love the same cars their grandpas and dads did.
It's so funny you should say that. I was at a friend's place in San Antonio.
You have a friend?
I have a couple.
Okay.
But he is a machinist, and what he does is make parts for classic cars. That's what he does. And we were talking about that, about how so many of his customers now just kind of suddenly are millennials and how they're spending money on these old cars. He was just kind of befuddled by it a little bit because usually his customers, like a guy like me, 60 years old with an American Express gold car, but now he's getting like 30-year-olds and stuff in there, which he thought was like super, super cool.
Well, you know what? Is, but say that it's a little bit different because it's real funny. It's overwhelmingly domestic cars, you know.
That I didn't know.
Because a lot of the imports, especially the Asian imports, back then they didn't have the rust protection they needed. And I mean, I had a 240Z. I loved it. But when it was 10, 12, 15 years old, it was a rust bucket.
Right.
And it shouldn't have been. It was a Texas car. But it says here that Gen Xers and millennials are 35% more likely to be interested in a truck or SUV compared to baby boomers. So see, these guys like trucks and SUVs. We all liked, you know, the 68 Camaros and, you know, Chevelles and Mustangs and stuff like that and Challengers and Chargers. These people, these younger guys, they like, you know, the C10 trucks, all the 70s to mid-80s pickup trucks.
I have a dealer friend. It was a General Line classic car dealer, and he is now specializing exclusively in those trucks because there's such a high demand for them.
Yep. 78% of Gen Xers and 81% of millennials like, love, or are passionate about driving, you know, compared to only 79% of baby boomers. So we're getting tired of driving, and they're just getting excited about it.
Which is ironic because a few years ago, they were kind of saying the opposite. They were saying young people don't want to drive anymore. They don't want cars anymore. They don't.
I've heard that, and guess what?
I think it's nonsense.
Those turkeys were wrong. I'm not going to use that actual word, but they actually were, you know, guess what? They like driving, and they like driving the same stuff. You know, see, that commercial where the guy becomes his father and it's like a Geico commercial or something? And he's wearing the funny socks and tennis shoes and flip flops and socks and this kind of stuff and Bermuda shorts like his father did and talking about, we're not air conditioning the world and shut the doors and, you know, all kind of stuff. You know, people, the kids,
sounds like me.
They love the same cars and stuff that we loved and they love that stuff. And, you know, be honest with you, it's a good investment nowadays. It pays better than the stock market.
It does.
And it's doing better. By the way, folks, you're listening to Mike Herzing and Greg Riley right here on Let's Talk Wheels on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network nationwide. And we hope you're enjoying our talk about these classic cars.
But, you know, there's one thing about investing money in cars I feel kind of compelled to say here, Mike. It's kind of like buying a stock, okay?
Yeah.
If you buy it and you think you're going to flip it and make money off of it 3 months from now, that's probably not going to happen. You need to buy and hold it for a while. Then you're going to make some money and you'll do way better. What does Warren Buffett say about the way to make money off stocks is to buy them and hold them? It's the same thing with classic cars. Buy something that you like, keep it, take care of it, and it's better than money in the bank. It really is.
Well, sometimes somebody will buy a classic car. I remember buying a 69 F-100 Ford. I loved it and had it for a while, and then I ended up
I loved that truck.
I decided to get in a Triumph Spitfire, which I ended up didn't like. It got flooded by Hurricane Harvey. But then I got my 46 model Jeep, and I finally, after my third one, I really decided this is kind of like
you found your thing.
Yeah, I like classic motorcycles too, but I had a Moto Guzzi 850 Le Mans. It was a classic from the late 70s, but it's kind of weird. You know, the most popular vehicles among baby boomers are the and Gen X's and millennials are the 65, 66 Mustang, and all just in general, Mustang, Camaros, and Corvettes hysterically. Everybody loves it. You know, and everything in the 60s.
Well, and the other thing, too, about those cars as opposed to some other cars of that same era, there's lots of parts availability and people that can work on them.
Yeah.
And that has a big impact on people wanting to own them.
I can get anything for my Jeep. My 46 model Jeep, literally, I needed brake springs. They have people that had – there's some of them I can get stuff that's a switch or something like that, and it's new old stock. I mean, this is built by the factory in the 40s.
I got a friend that's got a 73 Oldsmobile Toronado that he's restoring, which is a cool car. But the problem is you can't find anything to fit it. So, you know, there's that. So
yeah, there are some weird – but a lot of times if you want a good deal, maybe you want a Chevelle. Or you want something like one of those kind of vehicles, but instead you get the Pontiac version.
You get a Pontiac Le Mans or a Buick Skylark, and they're less money, and they're just as cool.
And they're just as cool.
In some ways cooler because there's not as many of them around.
It's a great date night car. I mean, that's what's fun, go out Saturday night and hang out with a bunch of people with old cars. I love doing that.
And people forget those GM midsize cars of the 60s and 70s. They forget just how nice and comfortable they were to ride in and drive. They're really nice cars. They're just hard.
And they actually, when you get something in the early 70s, even mid 70s, they actually have brakes.
Exactly.
My old, that 69 F-100 I had no, I mean, the brakes were horrible.
You know, I drive lots and lots of old cars, Mike, and you really kind of get a lesson in how far we've come when you drive a 60 model or even a 20 model anything, and then getting in a modern car, you kind of realize just we really come a long, long way even in the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, sorry, Greg, we have to wrap this up. We got Amy Masika from GMC coming up, and it's going to be a great interview about the new Sierra and heavy-duty Sierra.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right, folks, this is Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing, Greg Riley. Be right back in just a minute.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your guy, Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault's off today, but sitting in for him is our good guy, Mr. Corvair, Greg Riley.
Hey, glad to be here.
That's right. Greg has so many books on Corvairs, it's crazy. And this segment is brought to you by the folks at Nissan, who just made your choice for a new car. Easier one than ever with the most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Now, get great offers across the full line. Shop at our local Nissan store today and choose Nissan.com. Of course, we're going to talk about something totally different. But we've got the GMC Sierra, one of my favorite trucks. And my dad used to drive GMCs all through the 50s and 60s. And I guess it was the 60s. And we've got the GMC Sierra marketing manager, Amy Masika. Amy, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Well, yeah, of course, I'm not there up there on the East Coast where it's freezing cold. I'm here in Texas, but it's not bad. You guys have some great new product and great news for us. Tell us what's happening.
Well, we just, we're in mid-launch of our next generation Sierra Light Duty, so we're super excited to bring that out into the marketplace. And this past week, we just revealed our all-new Sierra Heavy Duty.
You know, we're in Texas, you know, and so people drive your 1500, you know, your light duty truck like a car. Okay, people drive them like, you know, this, that's your family car. It just happens to be a truck with a bed in the back. And I've been, that's been my way my whole life, even the 50s. But always GMC was just a little bit nicer than the cousin's Chevrolet. Just always just a little step nicer. And it still continues, well, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I think with GMC, we really understand who our customer is. We really understand that, you know, the people who buy GMCs use it as an everyday vehicle, right? So that the, you know, people hauler, they're taking their kids to school, they're going to the grocery store, going out to dinner, but then they're also using it for work, right? So,
yeah.
You know, we've added all these premium features in there. The technology that we put into the truck is like a luxury vehicle. You know, we didn't want to take away from the people using it for both, you know, every day as well as work. You know, some of the great features that we have on there is all the technology, right? Head-up display. You expect that in a premium vehicle. It's in our truck now. You know, you have leather-appointed seats throughout, real wood. You know, really listen to, you know, what our customers wanted.
That's features that you would have seen in a Cadillac a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. I mean, of course, these interiors are nicer than some of them. I mean, I've got a, we've got a guy here that drives an Audi. And he got in, we were at the Houston Auto Show, and he got in the new, the Sierra, and he goes, this is nicer interior than my Audi. I said, yeah. I said, your Audi's a 7 model. And I'm like, and that's a nice car. I said, this is just as nice, and you can carry stuff in the back. He goes, yeah, man, it's just, it's all about a utility, but luxury. And that's what you guys are aiming for, right?
You know, the people want all, the customers want all the bells and whistles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, this truck is just filled with innovation, which is, you know, my favorite. You know, if you start, you know, trucks are for the, you know, you buy trucks for the pickup bed, right? So, you know, you have to be able to do work. But we took a simple tailgate and made it revolutionary, right? So it's a 6-function multi-pro tailgate. It's first in its class. You know, the world's first. It's got all, you know, GMC just shows how much innovation we're putting into this truck. You start by perfecting the pickup bed, making the tailgate better than anyone ever thought could be, you know, exceeding customers' expectations. And then when you go to inside the cabin, like you're in a luxury car.
Yeah.
So we have it all, which we're super excited about. And, you know, it's going great. Our launch is extremely successful. And, you know, the Denalis as well as our AT4s, which is our new premium off-road truck, is just, you know,
yes,
blowing out the lots. It's exciting.
Well, you know, in Texas, trucks are status symbols. You know, and I've noticed that the styling of this truck is really pretty nice. I mean, it really stands out from the crowd and looks really great. I mean, so is that kind of by design? I mean, as I said, you know, Mike was talking about people drive trucks as you know, as cars around here, but you can go to the country club or the golf course or something like that, and you can see the parking lot is full of trucks too. So people really, you know, they like their trucks and they like the style of their trucks.
You know, the GMC is really known for their exterior styling. You know, that bold, dominant look, especially when you get to the Denali, right? The signature Denali grill. We have those, you know, those extremely recognizable C-shaped headlamps. So if it's dark out, you know it's a GMC truck behind you. So the design team made sure it fit our DNA. And it's, you know, we didn't have to sacrifice on, you know, anything for this bold, big look.
Well, you know, it's real funny. This is a true story. I swear it. I was at the gym the other day, but that's what people don't believe.
Yeah, that's the part that we don't believe.
But no, one of the guys came to me and says, I need to find that GMC dealer you're telling me about. And I said, yeah. And he goes, he's a good friend of mine. He goes, I need to go get rid of getting a truck. I've traded in. I bought a 2017 or 2018 model truck. And I said, what's wrong with it? He goes, well, it's I wanted a GMC and didn't have it, whatever. And so he goes, I threw some square hay bales in the bed and it dented the bed. And I said, he goes, I've been watching those GMC. I said, no, it won't do that. And guess what? He bought it.
He was driving Brand X, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Brand X with the aluminum. And guess what? That, just like your commercial, for real, this is a true story. And I started laughing to myself, wow. So he went over to GMC and got what he wanted. But you guys have always had such a tough, just manly works truck. And this new tailgate. All right, tell me everything this tailgate does, if we got enough minutes.
Yeah, well, just really quick before you get to that, you know, obviously, with the high strength steel in the pickup box, but coming out later this model year, GMC is going to have the first ever carbon fiber pickup box. So it's going to be, this technology, I mean, our engineers have put so much into this truck. You know, we've taken our 100-year truck capability and heritage, and have just, we just keep stepping it up every single year. But the carbon fiber box is fantastic. It's going to be a little lighter weight, but it's going to be the best in class, you know, dent, corrosion, resistance. So we're super excited for that to launch on the 84 in Denali as well. So it's just, this truck just has it all. You know, we're excited. And then, you know, stepping back to the multi-pro tailgate, right, there's six steps. So obviously you have the primary gate. Just folds down, you know, you can open it with your key fob. There's a button in the inside of the truck.
Right.
As well as, you know, a button on the back. You know, then when the gate is fully down, you can open up the load stop. So you can have long pieces of wood there. You know, you can have a motorcycle or a bike hanging out, and it has the load stop so it doesn't move. You can, you know, flip down the easy access so you can reach into the truck. There's a big full-width step up to 375. Then you also have an inner gate. You know, the little gate folds down.
Right.
So you have a work surface. And then you can put the load stop up there. I mean, this tailgate is made for work. It's made for your lifestyle behaviors, and, you know, it's super exciting.
Can I go back and ask you a question about the carbon fiber? Is this the first time that carbon fiber has been used in a pickup truck in this way or in this quantity? I haven't heard of any carbon fiber use in a pickup truck before.
Yes, correct. We'll be the first ever use of a carbon fiber in a pickup box.
That's interesting.
And in this quantity, right? So usually they're made for smaller.
And that was going to be my next question, was about production capacity, because I know some of the other manufacturers have done, like, sports car tubs and stuff out of carbon fiber, but the limitation has always been how many they can produce.
Yep. And, you know, we'll, you know, maybe if you invite me back in a couple, you know, months, we'll be able to give you some more of that detail of, you know, the manufacturing and the production of that. It's going to come out in the next, you know, later this model year.
Very interesting to hear about that.
We're running, we only got a couple minutes left, about 3 minutes left. Sure. So tell us, I got to hear about the heavy duty.
Oh, so the heavy duty. Oh, wow. Well, it is just absolutely fantastic. You know, this truck is stronger and it's smarter. You know, I want to say this has it's our best pickup yet. It's, you know, it's the best towing capability and innovation. We've taken a lot of the innovations from the light duty and transport, you know, it brought it into the heavy duty space, such as the head-up display. You get the projection on your windshield. You also have the rear camera mirror. You have all the in-vehicle trailering apps. But we've also taken up the capability dramatically. We're going to have, you know, towing capabilities well in excess of 30,000 pounds. And we've been able to do that, you know, by, you know, greater strength and durability where it matters most. You know, we have an optimized frame from the current gen. We have a whole new body structure frame. The truck is so much bigger to be able to trailer what you need to and how much you need to.
And you have the Duramax engine, right? And the Allison transmission?
Yes. Yep. We have a 10-speed Allison transmission. Ooh. This is going to be the first 10-speed transmission in its class. So first heavy duty to have a 10-speed.
I can't wait to drive one.
Yeah, this is going to
be. Now I'm excited to drive a heavy duty.
Well, you know, people buy heavy duties here all the time. I mean, it's you look in the parking lot. I was in a parking lot the other day, and there was 11 vehicles, and 9 of them were trucks.
Yep.
You know, and probably out of the 9, probably 5 were heavy duties. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Pickup truck is a standard.
You know, heavy duty, you know, is a tool, but one of the things that, you know, you have to be able to tow what your, you know, your trailer with wheels, all your toys. But GMC really prided ourselves on the ride. So loaded and unloaded, right? So if you don't have anything in the bed, you don't have a trailer hooked up to you, it's going to still ride nice, which is something that's a really big accomplishment for us with a trailer and without a trailer.
So no kidney belt now?
They want it all.
No kidney belt now?
Pardon?
I don't have to wear a kidney belt with your brand?
No. No.
Now, when is the
riding handling is smooth.
When is the heavy duty going to actually hit the market?
It's going to be later this fall.
Okay, later this fall?
Later this summer, I apologize. Later this summer.
Okay, would it be a 2020 or maybe 2019?
Yeah.
Sir?
2020? It's a 2020 model year.
Wow, man, I can't believe it's 2020. This is great. Amy, where can we find out more about this thing? Because I know everybody's going to be bugging me about it. I got to send them somewhere.
Yep. To learn more about our Sierra light duty and heavy duty, go to gmc.com.
That's pretty simple. And I love your commercials, by the way. I love it where the guy comes out and says, you know, I bought these vehicles and, you know, one for you, honey, and one for me, and she takes the truck. That would be Texas.
Yep.
That would be my house.
Well, you know what? You should check out our latest Sierra light duty spot that is focused around our world's first multi-pro tailgate as well. That's on our YouTube channel, our GMC YouTube channel, as well as some sneak peeks on our GMC.com website.
Wow, that is so cool. All right, guys. Tell you what, this has really been...
Learned a lot.
I learned a lot. I mean, I'll have to sit there and I'm going to go to Chicago and check it all out. Amy Masika from GMC, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, this is pretty cool. We got a lot more cool stuff right here on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Greg Riley, Mike Herzing, we sure appreciate you joining us today. And I hope you hang on because we have another couple segments left of Let's Talk Wheels. We'll be right back, folks.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing. Of course, Matt Perrault's off today, Super Bowl week. Sitting in for him is Greg Riley. And, Greg, thanks for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here.
And
it's
actually,
always fun.
I hear that you actually been driving some Toyotas.
I have been.
So, all right, folks, we got a review from Greg. This is going to be kind of funny because it's a pretty cool – it's one of these cars that he wasn't sure, and he got it, and he loves it.
That's exactly the case, Mike. You know, it's the 2019 Toyota Corolla hatchback, and Toyota makes really great cars. I mean, we all know that, right? But
yeah.
They haven't exactly been known as the excitement brand, right?
Especially you know? A Corolla.
I mean, you know, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect, but I mean, it's like the world's equivalent of the world's best automotive toaster or something. That's the way I used to think about Toyota. Okay?
It was your grandma's car.
It was your grandma's car, but they're great cars. But they have really, with the 2019 Toyota Corolla hatchback, they have hit a home run in my mind. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't really expect to be taken with this car because it's an economy car. It's a Corolla, right? I'm going to...
But it looks cool.
It looks really cool. This is what Toyota said about it, and I agree with this, which is kind of funny because usually these press releases are kind of overblown. But they said Corolla hatchback is a meticulously mixed cocktail of emotive lines, creases, and surfaces. And that is the truth. It is one good-looking little hatchback. I mean, it just from every angle, it looks good. It looks kind of sexy looking.
Corolla and sexy in the same sentence.
I know, right? I mean, Would you have thought that? And I'm a big guy. I mean, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm 250 pounds. And so usually when I get in a small car like that, I feel like I've been, you know, it's like, you know, being packed into a sausage casing or something. But I really felt comfortable in the car. And I got to tell you, the thing that surprised me most of all was how sporty this little car is. I mean, the car that I drove was in the baseline trim, so it wasn't all tarred up with a bunch of options and sports stuff and all that.
Starts at what, 19 something?
Yeah, like 19,000 and change.
Sticker, though. You can get a better deal.
Oh, you can get a better deal than that. It's like 19,000 and change. But I was really astounded at how much fun the car was to drive. It was very engaging. And you and I were talking not long ago about driving down the road in some cars, you know. It's like you're having a conversation with your friends and you're almost fighting the car to keep it centered and all. It feels like you're just not one with the car. But the Corolla is one of those cars I just felt like it was like simpatico. Like I got in it, like the car and I had kind of melded together. Performance is really great. It's got 168 horsepower and 151 foot-pounds of torque, which is more than enough to push it around really nicely. It gets great gas mileage. The SE, which is kind of the baseline car, which is the one that I tested, gets 28 miles per gallon around town, 37 on the highway, and 31 combined. That is impressive, my friend. That is impressive.
But it has all the safety features.
It has
that's
all
the big
of
deal.
It has all of the cool safety features, has a ton of standard features on the car. As I said, I really like the styling. You can get it in either SE or XSE grades. Try saying that real fast. But you talk about the features. The center instrument panel has an 8-inch multimedia touchscreen, and the center stack is really nice, too. It's all the controls and the navigation, everything is very convenient. It has the Apple Intune 3.0. It has the climate control features are on the center stack, too. And it also kind of has a bright kind of dazzling display, if you will. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but the resolution is real good, which is great for people like me with old eyes.
You have an old everything.
I have an old everything. But you can get the JBL audio system, which has, 800 watts of power, has JBL tweeters and all kinds of other things. And as far as the multimedia system goes, you know, we talked about this Intune thing. But, I mean, if you start reading the specs on this thing, we don't have time for me to read all the specs on it. But, I mean, it does everything that you could want and then more. You know, some of these in-car infotainment systems just aren't all that great. But Toyota has really raised the bar with this thing. And the little engine, I call it the little engine that could. You know, we used to talk about compression ratios. I try not to get too far down in the weeds on technical stuff. But this little guy's got 13-to-1 compression. I mean, that would have been unheard of years ago, but that's also how they get all the efficiency and all that. But anyway, I really liked the car. It was a lot of fun to drive. It's priced right. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you're looking for a small car, go drive the Corolla. I think you're going to be impressed. It is leading the pack. It's the top of the bar in the small car segment.
Well, of course, then Honda will come up with something. That's the best part right now. So guess who wins?
Like we said, it's the golden automotive age. It just gets better and better.
It is. Now, I was driving something. I haven't driven in a while, and it's the Honda Pilot. And it was the 2019 Pilot, and this was the all-wheel drive elite model. This thing had everything you wanted. And they've made a couple of changes on it. First of all, it doesn't really look like a mom mobile. It looks a little bit more manly, squarer. It's got the new fascia and things like that. Real kind of neat-looking new taillights. Real kind of sharp and sexy. Of course, sexy and Honda don't usually go together too much until you get into the coupes.
Like performance
and
Toyota.
But yeah, there you go. But it's neat, and it's a comfortable car. And it's big. It's three rows. And the back row is not for a big human like you or me. But, you know, younger kids can go there just
fine.
Kids
with the dog or whatever.
And it's got the little one cool thing I wanted to mention. It has a little deal that you pull down the screen. It's like they've had for years with the wireless headsets. And the kids can watch DVDs or anything on that or any of this stuff through the infotainment system. Okay, cool. But this one has cabin talk. And that means you can sit there just like your airline pilot when you're watching your show and the guy comes on and goes, attention, you know, we're going to have to do this. We're going to be getting ready for, set down in so many minutes. And it interrupts what they're listening to. It's an intercom and your kids have to listen to you.
It's kind of cool because they have to pay attention to you for a minute.
Pay attention. You go, drop that little Johnny. I'm going to smack you. I'm like, don't make me stop this car.
Don't make me stop this car.
How many times?
That was the ultimate threat when I was a kid.
That was the ultimate threat when I was a kid. But it's kind of cool. The car's got a new attitude. It's really nice. Fresh styling. New technology. And Honda Sense. It's got all this new – it's all standard thing. And it's all about safety. It's not the cross-traffic alert and pedestrian this. And it drives you back in the lane. Lane divergence. It's got – the dynamic cruise control. You know, the biggest thing is like you're getting on the freeway and you're looking back and the idiot in front of you hits the brakes and you smack in the back of them because you took your, eye off the road. This will stop you. And you've had a vehicle save your life.
A press test car did save my life a while back.
There you go. And so this has got good ride. It's got good handling, got plenty of room. This one had bucket seats in the back. But other than that, you can get it 8-passenger. This was, I think, more comfortable 7, but it has heated and cooled seats. It had everything you want, it was had nice armrests. It had, but the leather felt good, and the seats are very comfortable. We drove it up here today.
I did. It's nice.
And the coolest thing is they got an actual knob on the radio now. They took the knobs off, and it was all just touchscreen. And everybody complained.
I never understood that. What's wrong with a knob? Knob works great.
I don't know. Some young guy, whatever. But they put the knob back on. One thing I do understand, I know it's got a V6, and I know it's a VTEC, and I know it's got a 9-speed transmission. And it's kind of weird because it starts off in second gear so you don't lurch back like a lot of cars do it. Takes a little get used to, but it's got paddle shifters like a Porsche or a sports car. Come on.
So you're going to be paddle shifting your Honda?
Your family truckster? I don't think so.
It's like putting paddle shifters in a minivan.
That's going to cost – yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I'm like, come on. Really, most people don't even know what they are, and they're going to hit them by accident, change the transmission gearing and things like that. I mean, this thing's got all the automatic wireless charging for your phone, all the USB ports, all this high-tech stuff, and they put paddle shifters in it. Unless they have just a whole bunch of them left over, and they said, hey, Bill, what do you think? Oh, yeah, just throw them in there.
Throw them in there because we got paddle shifters. We got a bin full of paddle shifters.
Yeah, right. I mean, guys, take them off. Come on, really. Let's get real here. But it's a great vehicle. I mean it really does look good. It's got the hands-free tailgate. You wiggle your foot and all that. It's manly now. I wouldn't be embarrassed about driving. It's not like you're driving a minivan. It's a great vehicle. So if you're looking for a full-size SUV, it's kind of not like a Suburban, but it's pretty damn
close.
It's a big SUV. Check it out, man. Check out the 2019 Honda Pilot. I mean, they're like I said, this one I had, it was loaded with everything in the world. It was $49 sticker. Which means you can get a better deal than that. But check it out with your Honda dealer. It is a Honda, so it is going to last
forever.
Sounds
like your only criticism was the paddle shifters, pretty much.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's really a nice vehicle. I mean, I haven't driven one in a couple years, and I'm glad I did because it's a nice vehicle. All right, folks, let's knock out a car question or two. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
We have Bobby.
Hi.
Bobby wants a recommendation. That's not Bobby, our producer, Bobby Harris, but it's another
Bobby. He looked up when you said that.
I know he did. He wants to know a recommendation for a good new small truck to buy for a graduation gift. Something he's, a little low-key, low bucks. He's graduating from Texas A&M, actually. It'll be interning near Galveston.
Go Aggies.
Yeah, he's going to be an intern, probably a vet. And what are you thinking? Because you can get a Frontier. Of course, they're Nissan Frontier. They've been around forever. And
you know, that's the truck that immediately came to mind was the Frontier, because it's a lot of value for the money.
Right.
I mean, it's not the sexiest truck on the road, right? But if you want something that's going to last a long time, it's not a lot of money. I think the Frontier is a good choice.
It really would. And that would be something I would look at, because that's a nice vehicle. And I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I think it's been a they're great. I mean, now you can also get the new – of course, Tacomas are so expensive.
Yeah.
You can actually just go get a base model or lower-end Ram or something in the 20s. And so it's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things you can really do. I mean, I would really impress with it. So what about was your ideas?
Well, you know, that, as I said, that would kind of be my first thought. I mean, you can get a Colorado or something like that, which is a nice truck. And the Ranger will be in showrooms very shortly, also a nice truck. But I really think that Nissan Frontier is pretty hard to beat for the value for the money. It's a lot of truck for not a lot of money. I mean, what does that truck start for? Under $20,000 base price, something like that?
I know.
Well, Mike, Steve in Boston has a 2008 Corolla with 139,000 miles, and it had an engine code for converter low efficiency 2 years ago, so he replaced it. I'm assuming he means he replaced the catalytic converter.
Yep.
Okay. But not with a $1,600 Toyota unit, but with an aftermarket one. And for the last 2 years, and after the last 2 years, it has done it again, and the parts store has warranted them, but they won't anymore. So what can he do? I may have misread that, but for the last 2 years, it has done it again.
Yeah, he's done it
more than
two
once.
Years ago.
It's done it more than once,
right?
And they replaced it.
So here's the point. And so here's the problem: if people think, "Oh, it's got this code for low efficiency, it's got to be the converter." There's something causing the converter to go bad, and that's the difference when somebody goes and stabs the little code reader and goes, "Oh, it must be a converter." It's not. Okay, it could be the oxygen sensor out of spec, putting in too much fuel, either the downstream or the upstream. Could be a thermostat's opening too soon or not enough and running, making it could be too soon. It's running the engine too cold and it won't go into closed loop, which means it runs rich, which kills the catalytic converter. Could be an exhaust leak.
But the aftermarket catalytic converter in and of itself is not the problem. He's got an underlying issue of some kind.
He's got something else that's killing his catalytic converters. Now, granted, they're not as good as the original one, but even the original one won't last. It could be an engine misfire, rich condition, just a leaking injector that's just seeping a little bit. It could be high fuel pressure, which is a fuel pressure regulator, shoving too much fuel in there. All that stuff, any of those things can kill your catalytic converter.
We bought a Saturn new back in the 90s, and the converter failed under warranty pretty quickly. And it turned out that it had an oil consumption problem.
Right.
It had a problem with the piston ring.
Right.
And it was basically making the converter overheat and superheat and burn up.
But the point is, see, nowadays, with all this emissions and everything else, you don't see the blue smoke coming out like you used to.
Right. Right.
That's the whole deal. And so either way, I mean, that's it. Now, Lyndon's wife, this is a story happens all the time. Been calling around for prices on a brake job for his F-150. Can't find two prices even remotely close. Or even at the dealer. Even the dealer said, you know, why can't they give me a price on a brake job before I get there? It's kind of like when I called my doctor buddy one time. I said, Leo, I said, really true story. And I said, man, I got this killing headache. Wayne, what do you think? What should I do? He looked at me and said, you work on my car. I went, yeah. He goes, I might want to call you for brakes. The thing, what do you tell me? I said, bring it in. Okay, you need to come in. Well, I said, why? He said, well, you could have had a stressful day and it caused a headache, or you could have a tumor and you're going to die. So it's something in between.
Something in between those two.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. What am I thinking? I was just being an idiot, you know, which I do.
It's
that
the same thing. You can't analyze a car over there.
You can't analyze. So there's no standard brake job. Some cars have the drums or rotors will be bad. Some of them just machine the rotor. Some of them be the pads. And anybody that gives you a price over the phone is lying to you, and don't go. I mean, they can't. What most shops will do is they'll look at it for you for free. And they'll give you an estimate, and if you won't want it fixed, then take it somewhere else. They'll put it back together.
Yeah, I don't see how you could give a price on a brake job not knowing what it needs. I mean, it could need everything.
And you could tell somebody, and they go, okay, I need the price on replacing rotors and pads and this and that. Now, is that going to fix your brakes? No.
Well, not if your ABS controller's out.
Right, or not if your caliper pins are frozen, or if not if you're this or that. So, folks, it makes a big difference. But either way, it's just you can't do that. It's just magic. But everybody does. If you're not in the industry, it's easy. It's kind of like saying, "What's made my computer go bad?" And so that causes a big problem. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on, folks. This is Let's Talk Wheels. I'm your host, Mike Herzing, and we have Greg Riley on the line. So don't forget, you can always send your car questions to Mike at Let's Talk Wheels, or go to letstalkwheels.com and check out the push my Ask Mike button. We'll get it for you. This is Mike Herzing, Greg Riley. We'll be right back right after this.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
All right, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing, And actually, Matt Peralta is off today, my usual co-host. But we have, thank God, we have Greg Riley here,
the
Mr.
one and only. Thank you, Matt, for being gone today.
Yeah, by the way, you know, so your books. Let's talk about your books again.
I got three books, and you can get them from me, or you can get them from Amazon. I've got the Corvette, America's Original Mid-Engine Supercar.
Corvette?
Yeah, I'll tell you what that is real quick. Remember back in the 60s and 70s in the car magazine?
Yeah.
They had a kit that you could buy to put a V8 in a Corvette mid-engine.
No kidding.
Well, they sold over 1,000 of those things, those kits.
I would love to have
them. And there's lots of those cars around, lots of interest in them. And, you know, you take a Corvette and put a small block or an LS motor mid-engine, I mean, it kind of turns it into something pretty unique.
Like a Corvette, you know, new mid-engine Corvette.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually pretty cool. It actually really is. So thanks for joining us today. We can find out more about your Corvette. Just do a search for Corvette and Greg Riley, and that'll
put you there. Or Greg at letstalkwheels.com, either
one. There you go. All right. We got one more car question. Let's try to squeeze one of them in.
Okay, let's see. Hank wants to know the best way to handle a stripped spark plug hole on a Kawasaki 250 dirt bike. It was running fine, and he did it last
weekend. I've done that kind of stuff. He just pulled the threads out with it, put in a heel coil, you know, or thread insert, time insert, and it just put in a new set of threads, and it's you can take.
And you can do
off.
It on the car.
You can actually do it, yeah, on the bike or whatever.
Because that's common on Corvairs. I've done them on the car before.
Is it with aluminum heads?
Yeah,
and
very
stuff?
Common.
Yeah, that happens a lot, especially if it's an older vehicle. That'll happen, and then you can actually go buy the kits at the parts store for $18-$20 and put it in.
And there's even YouTube videos showing how to do it and all that. It's not difficult.
You got to be careful on YouTube videos.
Well, that's true, too.
There's a lot of stuff that's really, really wrong with the world that's on YouTube videos.
Well,
but if you do it the right way and you're pretty smart, you can handle it. So either way. But, Greg, thanks for joining us today. I know you've got all your classic cars and things going on. And like I said, folks, if you have any car questions, any kind of classic car questions, go to Greg at letstalkwheels.com or just go to letstalkwheels.com and push the contact mic. And
I'll be
glad to take care of you. And it's been kind of fun. It's been a great day, Greg. Thanks for coming
I've enjoyed being here. Thanks
a lot.
And
we have Bobby Harris, our producer. He's been great.
Who's nodding.
Yeah, he's nodding his head. That's the best he can do. You know, we try to do that. We witness his ex when he signs stuff, you know, so that kind of stuff. All right. No,
sorry,
he's good.
Bobby.
He's a great kid. But otherwise, as usual, thanks for joining us today. Well, I hope you join us again next week because we love you guys, and that's why we're here. On behalf of Matt Peralt, Greg Riley, our producer Robert Harris, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network, and I hope to see you next week.